Caesarship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre rain, they burn the kids, no one thinks current. Trees laugh to your face, fight and die, cause God forgives. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, it's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no more things, cut, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah. Back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little online network. And it is the 14th of December, and it's pretty cool. Shoveled a bunch of snow today. One of these days, I don't know which day, hopefully we're going to see some sun. We haven't seen sun in quite a while now. It's getting a little testy, but we're only 7 days away until they start getting more daylight. Now we got a little bit of sad news out of Tweed, which I think is down near Kingston somewhere, Eastern Ontario. Helicopter went down, hydro helicopter. And killed four people, which kind of sucks. Let's see here. Let me see. This is kind of an interesting story here, and I wish people would wrap their brains around it. Okay? The plan is to bankrupt everybody. Bankrupt the country. And I think one of the reasons that we're having so many immigrants and migrants and why the borders are open is because we're the surety for the debt. Not only are we the surety for the debt, we're the collateral on the loans. And according to this story, Canadians owe $1.71 for every dollar of disposable income they have. So that's pretty much buried in debt. You owe $1.71 for every dollar of disposable income you have. Well, how are you going to get out of that? That's the whole plan. And just like when they pulled the gold out and they bankrupted everybody and then they turned you into the collateral instead of the gold, turns you into the surety for the debt. And apparently this is a new record. So we're going in the hole quicker by the day And the whole plan of this New World Order thing is that a very small group of capitalists control all of the resources and all of the people on the planet. Which is not where we want to end up at by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, people talk about deficit, you know, budget deficit. Well, I don't care about the budget deficit. Statistics Canada reported Thursday that Canadian households owed more than $2.1 trillion at the end of September, up 1.4% from the summer. Mortgages were the biggest chunk of that debt, up 1.5% in the previous 3 months to $1.3 trillion. Now, this whole housing thing is, again, this ridiculous price of housing is all part of the game. So what they did with their Agenda 21 was each and every single municipality, which includes the city, Caesar Municipality, were put an invisible fence around every single municipality. So you can't build outside of that fence. So you have to infill. Well, instantly that creates a shortage of somewhere to build, which drives the price of the lots up. And when the price of that goes up, the price of everything goes with it. Now, this little town I'm in is only 7,500 people, and we have our invisible fence. We have nothing but land around here. I mean, you take southwestern Ontario, so let's see, it's 2 hours to Sarnia, it's 2 hours to London, it's an hour and a half to Kitchener, it's a little bit over two hours to Toronto, and that's all along the 401 corridor, which is this tiny little thin strip. But north of that, the biggest town we have is Owen Sound, Ontario, which is 20,000 people. Most of the towns north of that 401 are only running anywhere from 3,000 to 7,000, 8,000 people. We got more damn land you can shake a stick at. You can drop Britain into Ontario 4 times and still have lots of room left over. Britain's got a population of 65 million people. Ontario's got a population of about 15 million people. But they put these fences, these Agenda 21 fences, to preserve nature around every single freaking town in the country. You know, when I was building houses, we could buy lots for, well, you think about it, my parents bought a brand new house in 1969. Brand spanking new. Cost them $23,000, lot included. Now you can't buy a lot in this little town for $100,000. Now, what's really driving the price of housing up is they're now old houses, which people used to rebuild, renovate, are being bulldozed. So now you have the cost of removing the house. So you're buying a house in order to get your hands on a lot, but once you buy the house, you got to tear the house down, which makes a ridiculous price for the lot, and then you got to put a house on top of it. And this ain't by accident. The whole spike in real estate is a concocted fraud. to purposely put people in ridiculous amounts of debt. In a report last month, the OECD said high house prices are associated, and associated debt levels remain a substantial financial vulnerability in Canada. No kidding. But it didn't happen by accident. It was planned, just like the bankers and the lawyers and our friends, the Jews. Every single war, you know, people say they're banker wars. Well, they're more than banker wars because you have to have the lawyers to put the legislation together and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, it's no different than the money changers of a long time ago. Now, you know, people go, well, how did we get so far in debt? Well, it's part of the plan. But nobody ever pays attention to it. All the recessions and depressions were all planned out. And there's a huge mess just on the horizon. And the sad part is people are going to run to the very people that did it to them looking for help. I always call it the wife abuse syndrome. Some people call it the Stockholm syndrome. Whichever one, it's the same thing. You're running to your abuser looking for help. Makes no sense. Mortgage rules may have an impact. The upward trend in household debt, which started as far back as we have data, the series starts in 1990. Canada's unabated Bank of Montreal economist Benjamin Ricci said of the numbers, well, what did we sign on to in 1992? Agenda 21. Now, I was at a meeting here in town. I didn't even know what was going on. It wasn't advertised. But I've been in and off of these things. As I walked into it, it was Agenda 21. They had the little round tables with the politicians and the realtors and that. Bunch of idiots. And they had the guy running the show. And they had their little round tables, and then they're supposed to put in suggestions and stuff, but it's problem, reaction, solution stuff, right? These people are the reaction. And so they all go for it. The realtors want to go for it because it's going to push the price of land up, price of real estate up. It's good for them. It's good for the municipality because they get to collect more tax dollars. But when I was at that meeting, there was a woman there we got to talking at the back of the hall, and, you know, I told her, I said, this is Agenda 21. Facilitator is the word I was looking for. And she goes to me, oh, I don't think it's Agenda 21, do you? I go, yeah, I don't think. I know what it is. Now, it turns out this lady worked for CMHC, which is the insurance outfit for the mortgages. Now, we went through all this thing about the invisible fence, the infill, the high density. She gave me all the paperwork. I told her I'd been a builder, and she was a little bit excited about that because I could get in on this scam. So I didn't want nothing to do with it. I want it stopped. Now, I could be quite wealthy right now had I taken her up on her offer instead of broke as a church mouse. But right is right and wrong is wrong. And when I got home after the meeting, I looked up CMHC. I Googled CMHC, Canada Mortgage and Housing, and Agenda 21. And what do I find? CMHC is up to its ass, pushing Agenda 21. And here's a lady from CMHC saying, oh, it's not Agenda 21, do you think? I mean, at some point, we got to, you know, just deal with this. We have this little wee group of people who are going to trash us. Let's see. That's because, this is about the mortgage. That's because starting in January, new stress test rules for uninsured mortgages come in that will make it harder for some people to get a mortgage, which will limit demand and possibly reduce overall debt levels. That ain't going to happen. But for now, there's evidence that buyers are rushing to buy before the rules kick in, which is pushing up debt loads and debt ratios, at least in the short term. Now, I read a report some years back that what CMHC is on the hook for these insured mortgages is astronomical. But who's on the hook, because it's Canada housing and mortgage, who's on the hook if it all implodes? Canada mortgage and housing? No, they ain't got no money. The people are. The people are. Other economists say they expect the ratio to get even higher if interest rates keep rising. Royal Bank economist Josh Nye noted that the debt service ratio will increase as the Bank of Canada continues to gradually raise its interest rates. However, the prevalence of fixed rate mortgage debt means households won't feel the increase all at once. Rather, as today's data showed, the debt service ratio is likely to rise only gradually. Well, that's the whole plan. They're gradually going to kick you out of your house. Is the plan, because the 1976 Conference on Human Settlements that was held in Vancouver, cooked up by Strong and the Rockefellers and the rest of these clowns, states specifically about what's not sustainable. Private property is not sustainable. And this is what they're doing. They're making it not sustainable, not affordable. The whole idea is that the corporations swoop in and buy these places up, and then you become a rent slave to the corporations. They always do the same thing. Run it high. Crash it, buy up the assets cheap, and it's the plan that's coming. Holiday spending coming up. Scott Hanna, president of Credit Counseling Society, said in a release that the numbers are concerning, especially heading into the holiday season when many Canadians have a tendency to overspend. We are not surprised by this record-breaking household debt ratio. However, we are concerned that a growing number of Canadians will put themselves at risk and be unable to maintain their household expenses and reduce debt levels in the future. Canadians need to gain control of their finances and use a budget spending plan to effectively manage their expenses. No, what we need to do is we need to cut all ties with the United Nations. We need to cancel all treaties, agreements with the United Nations tomorrow morning. We need to write the debt off because it's a phony debt. It's an absolutely phony debt. It was a debt that was created to do exactly what's going on. And that's a fraud, and you can't gain from a fraud. Therefore, the whole thing is non-payable. So we need to kill the debt, not pay it off, just kill it dead in its tracks. We ain't paying it. And then we need to do what the United Nations and their gang of thieves and thuggeries and criminals have planned, is take control of our resources. Now, we need to start a new currency, a Canadian currency, not a World Bank currency, not an IMF currency, not a Fed currency, but a Canadian currency based on our resources. And we have more resources per capita than any place on the planet, which means we're all incredibly rich. But we don't have control of the wealth of this nation. And the plan is to drive everybody into poverty. And so far, they've been getting away with it, with no pushback whatsoever. And that has to change. Now, we have, I'm just going to stick with this for a minute. There's some things apparently that are keeping the, these are things that Bank of Canada's Pelosi says keeps him awake at night. What, that he's a criminal? Central bank exploring circumstances for issuance of its own digital currency. You might forgive Stephen Poulos for if he has a lot on his mind as the governor of the Bank of Canada. He has to worry about the state of our economy and how things like the NAFTA renegotiations might affect it, how technological change might impact inflation, and how the housing market will react to new mortgage rules. But those aren't the only things that Pelosi says keeps him up at night. In a lunchtime speech Thursday at the Canadian Club in Toronto, he said he laid out several things that gives him pause, including cyber threats, household debt levels, the struggle of young people to find work, and the rise of Bitcoin. On the topic of connectivity, he says he called the infrastructure that supports the Canadian financial system a public good, every bit as important to the health of Canada's economy as our roads, bridges, and airports. He said in a process that moves billions of dollars each day looks risk-free, but it is not. Our connectivity creates a vulnerability, he said. It means that a problem in one institution may spread to others, and be amplified, he said. As such, a successful cyber attack on one institution can become a successful attack on many. Despite the lengths gone to keep the system secure, we cannot assume the financial system is secure, he said. We need to be prepared to recover our system should a cyber attack succeed. Now, he's just telling you what they're up to. You know, this is what keeps him up at night. But he's spelling straight out what the plan is. Household debt and house prices. The central bank governor also said that vulnerabilities in Canada's housing market and our associated level of household debt are elevated and likely to stay that way for a long time. With the arrival of new mortgage rule changes that will see each new mortgage stress tested to make sure the borrower can handle a higher interest rate, the financial system will build up resilience over time. The Bank of Canada expects consumers will look for cheaper houses with a smaller mortgage so they qualify under the new rules, but Blow says that some people might also seek out lenders not covered by new federal rules so they can avoid the stress test. To those people who hope to avoid the rules, I offer this advice: testing yourself to make sure you can handle your mortgage payments if interest rates were higher at renewal is a very good idea, whether it's a rule or not, he said. Now, you know, he says here that consumers will look for cheaper houses with smaller mortgages. Well, where the hell are you going to find a cheaper house with a smaller mortgage? Okay, now this brings in the next plan of much more high density housing. Now, according to some UN documents I read several years ago, their idea was that the amount of living space that a adult needs is around 350 square feet. So if you are a couple and you're in a 1400 square foot house, then you have twice as much space as you require. And one of the plans is to force people to put an apartment in their house. And so now it's not really your house anymore. Yeah, it's a rental unit. You may own it for the time being, but you have a house that you want to live in, but now you're going to be forced to have someone else living in your house. And make no bones about it, that's coming. It's the only way you can get smaller space. Now, while the documents I read from the UN said they figured, you know, an average of about 350 square feet, but that's obviously been ratcheted down now because they're building apartments or condos in that, which are 250, 255, 260 square feet. Now, the room I'm sitting in here right now is, this is one room in the house. It's 255 square feet. Now, I can't for the life of me imagine how in the hell anybody would live in this space. I mean, you got to put a bathroom, a bedroom, a kitchen, and some kind of living space. In this living space here of 255 square feet, I got my desk. I got a stand with a printer on it. I have a chair in the corner. I have a wall unit, two couches, the chair I'm sitting in, and a coffee table. And if you put anything else in here, it would be crowded. But people are going to look for smaller living spaces with smaller mortgages. You know, this is completely out of hand. Now, all of this inflation is created by those who control the flow of the debt notes, but I see they were selling condos at 200, I believe it was 265 square feet for $180,000 plus condo fees, compared with a single family home brand spanking new that my parents bought in 69 for $23,000. So the debt load through inflation of property, inflation of hydro bills, inflation of water bills, inflation of taxes, and so on and so forth, inflation of fuel prices. Puts us in this so-called debt load that we're in on purpose. Now he talks about jobs for young people. He said the economy has created about 350,000 jobs this year, but only about 50,000 of them have gone to young workers, adding that the percentage of people aged 15 to 24 who are in the workplace has slumped to its lowest point in almost 20 years. Now, there's a statistic. The 15 to 24-year-olds is the lowest it's been in 20 years. Now, I'm thinking of starting another construction company, but everybody I talk to has got the same problem. Can't find anybody that wants to work. Now, so there seems to be a lot of young people out there, but what they've done to these young people is that's criminal. But at the same time, they're saying that the percentage of young people aged 15 to 24 who are in the workplace has slumped to its lowest level in almost 20 years. This is at the same time that the feds have opened up the borders to say that we need to bring these people in to fill jobs. Well, wait a minute. Apparently there aren't any. With more than 250,000 job vacancies in the economy, the highest figure on record, the business is saying they can't find people with the right skills. Pelosi suggested more must be done to address this gap. There surely is room for more ambitious on-the-job training programs in this picture, he said. But it's going to be the immigrants that get trained for those jobs. That you can bank on. Now, why is it that there's all these jobs, apparently? There's a 250,000 jobs, apparently, and we only got 36 million people in the whole damn country, so that's a lot of jobs. But they said the business owners can't find anybody who has the capacity to do the damn job. Well, that's not by accident either, folks. That's also part of the plan. Digital cash and Bitcoin, he wants to talk about a little bit. The governor saved his last point for the topic of Bitcoin and other digital currencies, which have seen booming interest lately. What their value is may be anyone's guess. Perhaps the most one can say is that buying these things means buying risk, which makes it closer to gambling than investing, he said. That said, he acknowledged that with transactions using electronic payments growing, it is possible that demand for electronic cash could grow over time. He added there could be strong reasons for the central bank to provide a form of digital currency. Bank staff are exploring the circumstances under which it might be appropriate for the central bank to issue its own digital currency for retail transactions, he said. Now, this is all, he's saying that these are things we should look up about. No, these are things that they've put in place. These are things that they plan on doing. These are things they've been doing for an awful long time because they want cash gone. You know, it was like Aaron Russo with that, interview he did with, I can't remember which Rockefeller it was, you know, saying like, what the hell is your plan? Well, simple. Make everything electronic and chip everybody. No cash. So if you don't play ball, we just shut the chip off. Or we just borrow you from your own account. Just like I'm in Facebook jail again. If I post something that the Jewish-run CIA-funded Facebook doesn't like, i.e. my right to free speech and thought, I end up in Facebook jail. And the idea of the digital payment is that if you don't toe the line, well, you ain't getting access to anything digital. And you ain't going to have no cash. So I don't know why, you know, in the old days, you know, even if they didn't have guns, they'd pick up pitchforks and sticks in that and go after these dickweeds. But as Rockefeller said, we're more sophisticated now, more willing and able to move to a world government. Well, you're not more sophisticated, you're stupider than a box of rocks. You have to understand their language. Oh, Mr. Rockefeller says we're more sophisticated now. No, he's telling you you're stupider than any group of people in the history of this country have ever been. That's what he's telling you. And he knows what he's talking about because they're the ones that create the curriculums for the schools. They're the ones that decide what you learn and what you don't learn. And so they've got complete and total control of this. So let's. I'm going to run through a few of these comments here. There's 427 of them. Sam says, "Where are these vacant jobs?" And somebody said to the bank governor, "You personally created this debt by keeping rate so low for so long." No, it wouldn't have been the rates. Okay, it's the fact that the debt really didn't have a lot to do. There's nothing wrong with low rates. We shouldn't be paying interest. Okay, because where are you getting the money? Who's making the money to make up the interest? Doesn't exist. So the higher the debt goes, the bigger the damage is going to be. No, it's got nothing to do with low rates. It has everything to do with driving up the debt when it didn't have to be driven up. Okay? All of these municipalities are putting in new water systems, new sewage systems when they don't need them. And that puts the debt on the people. So when this thing starts to come apart, okay, we have a French water company floating around here. I've seen their trucks. And so as they drive your cost up, you can't afford it, but you're on the hook for the infrastructure, so that's debt. And when this thing comes apart, they're going to pick it all up. For pennies on the dollar. And then you'll have exactly what Rockefeller said. Something has to take the place of government, and business seems to be the obvious entity to do it. Okay? Corporate slavery. Tom Evans says we use the low interest rate to pay down debt. We live pretty reasonably. It's a choice, and many people need to start taking responsibility for their actions. The banks are encouraging such borrowing in the first place, and the rest of us for a lack of self-control and forethought. Simon says, is Trudeau's tax-happy government raising gas taxes again? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you put on the carbon tax on everything, which was Al Gore and Morris Strong's little baby and Rockefeller's and so many of these big companies. It's everybody dipping their hand in your pocket. You're busting your ass trying to keep your head above water, and everybody's sticking their hand in your pocket. So we have a huge problem here. You know, if we're over $2 trillion in the hole, and we got 36 million people, and the government keeps sending billions and billions of dollars overseas to little countries to help them be more sustainable, or whack them with vaccines, then the debt is just going to continue to rise and rise and rise. And you can't get out from under it. And that's the whole plan. You can't get out from under it. See, this is a, you know, like when what was it, the Napoleonic Wars, when the Rothschilds went back and said that they had won the war. The stocks and everything in England dropped like a stone. And the Rothschilds and the boys came in and bought everything up for next to nothing. Only to find out later that Napoleon didn't win. This is a manipulation that's taking place again. Only this time it's not a shoot 'em up war, it's a spiritual psychological war. A war that we need to win. And we better win it. You know, here's a good comment. The Bank of Canada governor is saying things that keeps them up at night. Speaking at the Canadian Club, which is all huge business owners who are licking their lips waiting for the crash so they can come in and buy it up. Al Haywood has the right answer. The Trudeau carbon tax keeps Canadians up at night. And like I keep saying, we got to stop putting up with this crap. Let's see. Dave Alberanti, along with economic migrants, open borders, continued deficits, increased debts, gender politics, social engineering, and the list goes on and on. And Sam writes, in response to Al, can I still fart when I please? Well, yes, but not for much longer. I read an article a long time ago out of Australia where they wanted to tax cow farts. So I imagine goat and sheep and pig farts too. So I would think, seeing as the United Nations calls you human, which is a evolution of a great ape, that would make you an animal by definition. And if they want to put a carbon tax on cows net farting, I would imagine that, yeah, you're in line to be carbon taxed. So, you know, you might want a carbon sequestration situation. So what you want to do when you get up in the morning, before you put your underwear on, you want to get a big plastic bag and put that in there. And then so if you do fart, right, you can sequester it, put a tag around it or whatever, and then dig a hole and bury it. Otherwise, yeah, you'll probably be paying fart taxes. What really bothers me is that so few people read anything. You know, everything that I'm reading here tonight, the plan is put in place a long time ago. The documents are all there. You know, the documents are all there. But nobody reads nothing. And that, you know, they write it all down. They tell you exactly what the hell they're going to do or what their plans are. And if we don't step in front of them, they just put the plans in place because silence is consent. They write it down. You don't read it. They consider that you've consented to it. Just like Warburg had said in 1950, there's going to be a world government by consent or conquest. And so far, they got it right. We just keep consenting. We don't even ask questions. Let's see what else. Get your ducks in a row. The only reason I keep awake is because the dog seems or hears something. What keeps him up at night, says Commoner? The worry of seeing his shadow the next day, fearing his own shadow. He has kept rates too low for too long, which has fueled this debt. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Okay, now a lot of these low interest rate things, they sound like plants, you know, because you say, oh, they keep the rates because they're looking for a reason to raise rates. Okay, and so they'll say, well, you know, Canadians say that we should raise rates because that will help things. How will that help anything? You raise the rates, then the debt goes up all by itself without even borrowing a nickel. But we've got to throw this banking, this international banking system, off our territory, period. Nothing good has ever come from it. Nothing good will ever come from it. So we need to cut it loose. See, here's another one. I think it has become automatically, abundantly clear that Canadians will not stop borrowing until interest rates are high enough to discourage borrowing, keeping the interest rates rising slowly and steadily. Yeah, these have got to be plants. And this is CBC I'm reading from, so, you know, they're all part of this game. But the price of houses are not going to come down. The only way the price of houses is going to come down is if nobody can afford a house. John Osborne, says, I would have expected he'd stay awake worrying about the liabilities his grandchildren are inheriting. The governor is not responsible for monetary policy, but he is responsible for the ridiculous low interest rates. There we go again with the ridiculous low interest rates that have permitted the housing market to explode and allowed Canadians to borrow money like never before. Well, that's all part of the plan, isn't it? The low interest rates were there, put there, to totally indebt everybody in the nation. What these clowns don't seem to understand, it was a plan. It wasn't a mistake. It was a plan in order to indebt. And then when the debt gets so high, the only way we can fix it is to raise interest rates. Now, that doesn't fix the debt. That, in fact, drives the debt even higher. But these bozos in here don't seem to get that. But we have to take the nation back. You know, this idea that Trudeau has anything to do with this is really kind of ludicrous as well. It wouldn't matter who was in here at this point in time. The party system is there to divide and conquer the population, which it's done a fine job of over the many, many decades. And less and less people vote, because they've figured out that it doesn't matter who you vote for, you're getting the same garbage coming at you. Well, that's because the right and the left, it's a right boot and a left boot on the corporate body marching you to a place that you most definitely don't want to end up at. When the Americans pull the plug on Canada and our tax revenues collapse, CBC will be one of the first things dissolved. There is a reason the Bank of Canada governor is worried. He's not worried. He's part of the. This is what kills me. The people think, oh, the Bank of Governor, the governor of Bank of Canada, You know, he's the guy that runs. He doesn't run squat, just like the prime minister doesn't run squat. These are all puppets on a string, run by the globalist, telling when to put the money out, when to pull it in. You know, what agendas Tim have planned, when to open the borders, yada 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 yada. These are just puppets on string. And I don't understand why people have such a difficult time understanding that. They're such shallow thinkers. True on the debt part, but did you forget the his 200-year federal government pension? I guess you're talking about the governor. You don't expect him to live off the interest income from his savings like most Canadians do. After all, he is the guy who maintained the suppression of Canadian interest rates. You wouldn't want him to taste his own cooking, would you? There's that interest rate thing again. When they're blaming low interest rates for this problem, now the governor of the bank is supposed to know what's cooking, but he's just a puppet. He does as he's told. He was told to hold the rates low to make sure that everybody gets totally indebted, and then start raising the rates. With the price of housing now, and see, the worst part of this is that you have the seniors and that who have their houses paid off for some period of time, but they're living on a government pension, which is not that much. So they thought once they got the house paid off and they got a pension, be it from work or whatever, that would satisfy the situation. But what they've done is with the ever increasing taxes, with the ever increasing water bills, hydro bills, gas bills, fuel bills, their income, they can't stay in their houses. More and more of them can't stay in their houses. So you're pushing them out to houses. And the working stiffs, some of these mortgages are incredible. And if those rates go 4%, keys are going to start flying all over the place. But that's okay, because the migrants need somewhere to live. And they'll take those houses inside the invisible fences that you can't develop anything outside of those fences, and they will take those houses from the people that have been paying on them. And they will take those houses and they will renovate those houses into apartments. And they'll be corporate owned. And while this is all going on, while we live in the richest country on the planet, it's absolutely incredible that this is what's going on. And people just don't seem to get it. So here's a note from Artie Gibson. Mr. Polos, you nor any of the other 185 central bankers in the world do not go to the washroom without the world's bank's permissions. Exactly. Puppets. And from Henry, we have the World Bank is in the foreign aid business that extends development financing to credit-worthy third nations. Get your conspiracy theory right. Usually the blah blah is about IMF or the BS. Doesn't matter, Henry. It's all the same group. Okay? It's all run by the same people. And Pat Evans hits it. This is a response to Henry. Do you like Rothschild owned banks? Why is the BOC on a list of Rothschild owned controlled banks? That's the Bank of Canada. Why is the Bank of Canada on a list of Rothschild owned and controlled banks? And then he puts in the quote from Rothschild: "Give me control of a nation's money, and I care not who makes its laws." And this has been going on for an incredible long time. Now, George Hunt, back in 87, went to a conservancy, I forget what it was called, in Colorado, meeting. And when he went there, being a man who could think, he thought it was just a local meeting. But when he got there, who did he run into? Who was at that meeting? Evelyn Rothschild, Morris Strong, David Rockefeller. And you go, what the hell's going on? And if you haven't watched George Hunt's video from way of George, is not with us any longer, but he did some beautiful work. Go look up George Hunt and listen to what he's got to say about what happened in 87. And he worked from 87 till his death a couple years ago, trying to wake people up, light a spark, as he said. But in that video from George Hunt, it's spelled out very clearly. They want control of the resources. They're going to shove everybody into high-density cities where you're going to fight amongst yourself, as you've got, you know, so many languages and so many different kinds of people. And restrict and restrict and restrict and restrict your access to food, water, housing, electricity, fuel, transportation, because that's another thing that's not sustainable, according to these clowns, is private vehicles are not sustainable. So I want to thank Pat Evans, because we're out of time here pretty quick. I want to thank Pat Evans for actually putting in an intelligent comment. You know, this idea that the Bank of Canada was started as a private bank, for crying out loud. People don't know any history. And they're certainly not being taught any history in the schools today. They're being taught pronouns, and how boys can grow titties, and how you're supposed to love a Muslim, and so on and so forth. Which is right in line, as we run out of time, with Brzezinski, who said it would take two and a half to three generations to completely mind screw the public and make them so malleable that you can do whatever you want with them. And that's where we are, and we got to shake that garbage loose. Because if we don't win this war, and this is the Third World War, if we don't win this war, everywhere, forever. Okay, it's running time. Everybody have a great night, Dr. Ben.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, Caesar shit, force from air, fuck them back, it's only for the